it's mad, there's no control.
Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you live under a rock,
I might grab a bat, I don't know, my rap, my blood boils over like, oh God, here goes. I lost all feeling from my head to my toes. You said some shit that I can't let go, so just stay tuned for the rest of the show.
So have you ever felt betrayed? Switches how you see things, realize something needs change. Cause I know you got me fucked up, let me show you what's up. Cause enough is enough.
I'll take a face full of pavement just to make a statement. I know there's no turning back. Oh God, adrenaline wasted, so mad I can taste it. I know there's no turning back. I'll do what it takes, I ain't making mistakes like that. I'll bleed on your face to make you go take it back. I'll lose my shit, I go crazy when I'm mad. And I ain't gonna wish you had such a fucked up real bad.
Be the villain! And I have no problem at all, because I couldn't care less if you like me or not. I'm here for success, yeah. And there's no one more successful than Grayson Waller.
Yeah! Let me talk to you! War game.
Indeed, everyone. Let me talk to you here on a Sunday afternoon on the BX Sports Jedi Network. This is the Heel of the Ring podcast. I'm the host, BX Sports Jedi Kev. It with me here, my partner here, Jay. Let's say hello real quick. Jay, what's going on? Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday, indeed. Salute to you, Kevin. Salute to everybody watching and listening at home. We're about to review the Elimination Chamber. What an amazing pay-per-view.
Right. This is an emotionally filled headline here for Elimination Chamber. You could pretty much say that I was joking around calling it the Canadian WrestleMania for Montreal. It was action-packed. I am emotionally invested here to strap in and try to review it emotionally as best as possible. What a night from the crowd, through the venue, through the arena, to the performers. We're ready to break every single bit of it down. Before we get into the Elimination Chamber hopefully review, I just wanted to bring up a quick acknowledgement and congratulations to Mercedes Mercado, a.k.a. Sasha Banks, a.k.a. Monet, winning the IWGP Women's Champion. Congratulations for her. That's why she left the WWE and went to pursue possibly greener pastures and fulfilling and winning the IWGP Women's Champion. Good job on her. I'm extremely happy for her.
Yeah. Congratulations to Mercedes Moné, aka Sasha Banks. You know, she's come a long way, you know, in the WWE, and I would like to see her pursue probably even more in Japan, obviously being in New Japan Pro Wrestling, possibly go to another company and pursue more there as well. Would love to see her back, but I don't think we'll ever see her back anytime soon, as she's in Japan pursuing what she wants to do. What she wanted to do before she came to WWE was be in Japan. So congratulations to her pursuing her dreams that she will add as a kid.
Right. And that chapter in her story, she's fulfilling something there. And that's a whole other podcast that we could really get into on her trajectory. And of course, I have also some criticisms when it comes to that. But we'll leave that there. We didn't come to talk about that. We come to talk about today. It is Elimination Chamber. My God, let's go right in it. As soon as the Elimination Chamber starts, we get right into the Women's Elimination Chamber match. My goodness, it was phenomenal to start it off. Of course, the participants were Asuka, Raquel Rodriguez, Liv Morgan, Natalya, Nikki Cross, and Carmella. What was your thoughts of the women starting off and opening Elimination Chamber?
I thought it was a good idea. Women these days now main event a lot of some of the shows and, you know, big pay-per-views and stuff like that. But, having the woman start off the Elimination Chamber, you know, is a good thing. I like it. I loved it. I enjoyed the Women's Elimination Chamber. I was on the edge of my seat for some of the moves that we'll get to soon. But hey, it was good. Last night, yep, it was a good pay-per-view. I'll say A+.
Right. We see all the ladies participate. Some good memorable moments that stuck out for me. My God, I where can I start? Because this is just breathtaking. It was a big. First of all, let's go off with the big pop that Natalia had. Natalia being the hometown sympathetic character in the and the hometown favorite comes out, gets a big pop. Good job for her. You know, I think she needed that from the crowd for keeping her relevant. Also, you saw the extreme of Liv Morgan. You saw the physical dominant of a Raquel Rodriguez. You know, their match and all six participants gave you a little bit of something there. You know, you saw the frenetic energy from Nikki Cross. My God, from that cross splash off the pod on there. I mean, one of those memorable moments. You also saw, of course, the fan favorite, Kana, a.k.a. Asuka, you know, turning into that persona. You were already from the very jump start for our opening match. Remember, opening match is supposed to get the crowd going, get hot, and the ladies delivered to my thought. I love the spots there. I'm going to go through all the different spots of the match there. And you also had the opportunistic of a Carmella. You know, I didn't want to leave her out as well. She was very opportunistic. I thought not my favorite to be in that elimination chamber. I mentioned it before when she got the nod to get into the elimination chamber. I felt that another wrestler or another lady was more discerning. But that's another here or there. It's irrelevant now because she got into the elimination chamber. I thought she was opportunistic with her super kicks and getting in there, getting that story that she would all the ladies down and she went to pin different ladies. I like that. I like the story that this elimination chamber told with all the different ladies. What was your memorable moment in this elimination chamber with the ladies?
Most likely probably Liv Morgan off of the top of the pod. Hitting that power bomb on Raquel Rodriguez. One of the most memorable moments in the women's elimination chamber that night. It was a good move. I enjoyed it. I liked it. And probably Carmella with all those super kicks. She was in there hitting super kicks like she was Shawn Michaels. She was in there hitting everybody with super kicks.
She was tuning up the band, bro.
Oh yeah. She was tuning up the band, and I like how Asuka and Carmella were working together, and hit that double pin. I like that. I want to see more of double pins in these kind of matches because it's pretty cool. Because like you're not gonna kick out of people hitting you with a double pin. That's not something you're gonna kick out of.
Right. All right. One spot that I like personally was the double submission that ultimately took Liv Morgan out of the match, where she was totally fell out, not even tapped out, she passed out, where she got eliminated, the sharpshooter and the armbar by Kana, a.k.a. Asuka, for the finish. To me, that was a memorable part there that I really enjoyed, that I was like, oh, that was another good moment there in the match there. Of course, I mentioned Raquel Rodriguez with her power. She had two ladies on her, and she was still showing her strength in the match. All in all, my goodness, right, different ladies were eliminated at the right time. Morgan was eliminated, of course, by that passing out. You also had the super kick for Carmella knocking out Natalia in the elimination part. And all in all, we get the winner of the match. It is Asuka, who gets the armbar and gets the finish, the tap out submission, the winner of the match, and going into WrestleMania to take on the EST, Bianca Belair. The right lady won. We all knew, let me tell you this, Jay, we all knew Asuka was the favorite to headline, but you gotta, sometimes predictability, it's okay. It's how you tell the story of the predictability, and I love the way the ladies allow the story to unfold in the Elimination Chamber to get where we get Asuka representing and the ladies to take on Bianca Belair. In your opinion, right, Lady One?
Now that I think about it, yes. Originally, I did have Liv Morgan or Carmella to win. But obviously, Kana, a.k.a. Asuka, won the Elimination Chamber. And now that I see it, now that I look about it, it was the right woman to win, definitely 100%. She's going to go in there at WrestleMania in Hollywood, and she's going to do what she does best. And hopefully she comes out as your new Raw Women's Champion.
Absolutely. Now you get the promos Monday. You got 40 plus days. It was 44 days left to before WrestleMania. You get to build. Now you have all this time here to build these matches, the promos, the vignettes, all the different things to get us invested. And be honest with you, it is. It's invested because not only you don't need all that time to build it, but you want to see the interactions because both ladies are big headliners. Bianca Belair, Asuka, I believe with under Triple H here, Asuka's been booked so well. And even with the refreshing, with the no pun intended, with a fresh coat of paint on Asuka, Asuka now is a bigger than life persona that, you know, you get fanfare. That's going to be a fun crowd in Los Angeles that's going to be divided between Asuka and Bianca Belair. Who will go where? It'd be interesting where the crowd goes there with that, because both ladies are right now at the top of their peak, especially the EST, who's going to, when she reaches WrestleMania, she'll be almost a year with the women's title. You know, the Raw Women's Champion, it'll be a year to the date almost, and it'll be interesting to see if she keeps and she defends it, or do we have a new Raw Women's Champion? That's fun right there. I can't wait for that match.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to both the women's championship matches, both the SmackDown with Mommy and Charlotte Flair, and now Asuka and Bianca Belair. They're both going to put on a performance in both of those matches. And, you know, we might see both new champions. We might not see new champions. You never know. And Bianca Belair is solidifying, you know, she's one of the best that we've seen this generation as a champion. I mean, she literally is going out here. She won at WrestleMania 37 in Tampa against Sasha Banks. Then she beat the odds against Becky at last year's WrestleMania. Can she outcome again and win three times in a row? But you know, this time she might fall to Asuka. You never know. So we'll find out Monday more on that. You know, hopefully we get like a promo or segment or Bianca Belair come out and, you know, confront Asuka in person. Obviously, we have 44 days left until WrestleMania. So it's time to start building for that WrestleMania. You know, it's time. It's time to start building.
Right. And I also want to congratulate Asuka for winning Money in the Bank, Royal Rumble, and Elimination Chamber. I think she's the first lady to ever do that. Great accomplishments under Triple H here. For Asuka, she'll be the first, no matter what, no one can remove that away from her. And a trailblazer transcending in the women's division for Asuka, no matter, regardless if it's successful or not, with the Raw against Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. So we shall see there. Look for that promo or Bianca come out to congratulate Asuka. Maybe we'll find out if Asuka's going to be totally heel turned there as the kind of persona where she kind of loses a little bit. We shall see for Monday Night Raw. We'll move on. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll probably have plenty of reviews on that going forward. Let's go to the next bout. This was a rivalry match. Two guys, two big, larger-than-life persona, big men, you know, big background, the rivalry, the dislike for one another, the way it's been built, presented. Brock Lesnar taking on Bobby Lashley. My God, that was a match that we were expecting it to be one thing and something else happened. But before we give the results there, when we see these battle of these super, we could say super heavyweight explosion, I liked it. I liked the fact where we saw F5s, we saw spears. What was your thoughts on this match being there where it was after that woman's elimination?
I enjoyed it. I was looking forward to this match. I wanted to see these two giant men go at it once again. We saw them at Royal Rumble, and you know, Roman cost Brock the title, and then we saw them at Crown Jewel. Brock won, and so this was kind of like whoever wins this is going to be done. Whoever wins this is the winner. It's all over. You know, and I wouldn't say that I enjoy the finishers off the finishers. I kind of want to see more of Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley fighting instead of having finishers after finishers after finishers, because then it's not enjoyable. I mean, I know some people like it, but I want to see a longer match. We kind of saw that at Crown Jewel. a kind of a little bit. But all in all, these people going at it with the F5s, the hurt locks, the spears, and all that stuff, and the suplexes, it's enjoyable. Without any spoilers, I like that match. I enjoyed it.
Now, I know you said a longer type of match, but you know what? Sometimes it's quality over quantity. And this is what this pay-per-view gave us. It gave us five matches, and it was all quality matches than quantity. Sometimes you could put a bunch. You could have like 15 matches, 6 hours long, and it's crap. And no disrespect, but you have five matches here. This was phenomenal. You know, sometimes less is more. And to my point here, they kept it short, where you saw the guys hit their finishers, remove there, and especially what the problem is, this match before it started, in my opinion, had greater expectations, Jay, because the night before on SmackDown, you had Uncle Howdy and Bray Wyatt, especially Wyatt, saying whoever wins the winner of this match, they better run. Actually kind of menacing them or threatening them that I'm coming for you. So us as the fan base, as a crowd, is expecting, it wants to see a, and of course we see where Brock Lesnar, in a moment of I don't know, desperation or frustration, low blows Lashley and gets disqualified with the low blow, the kick in between the crown jewels. No disrespect to the pay-per-view. And I think us as fan base, we were a little bit let down because we wanted to see a clear-cut winner because Bray Wyatt is waiting. The boogeyman is waiting. What was your thoughts on that?
When Lesnar hit that low blow, I was like, oh, come on, man. You're going to really just do that like that? They're probably going to have another match. It's probably most likely going to have another match because there's no way Bobby Lashley is going to win via disqualification. You have Bray Wyatt come out. I was expecting Bray to come out after the match, but obviously we saw Brock Lesnar kind of go off script. It was kind of told on Twitter, yep, F5-ing the ref. You know, that was kind of off script. By Brock Lesnar to hit an F5 again. What he did in the ring was in script, but when he did outside the ring to the ref was off script. And I'm expecting a fine or a suspension or something towards Brock Lesnar to kind of like say, hey, don't be going off script here and F5-ing a ref. That's an official. But obviously probably not going to happen. But what the match, man, I didn't like the ending of the match. I kind of wanted a clear-cut winner. I wanted to see probably Brock Lesnar win to face Uncle Howdy or Bray Wyatt, sorry. You know, because we didn't kind of see that in the past. You know, I know, you know, Bray Wyatt hit his sister Abigail on Brock, but I wanted to see a match between these two. You know, we obviously are probably going to see Bobby Lashley versus Bray Wyatt now because of what happened in the match. But I wanted to see a clear-cut winner.
All right. I could see where you might be disappointed. The fact that Brock, if he did or didn't go off script with the referees, pulling Bobby Lashley through the table, I loved it because because here's a way of keeping your heat. Yes, you at the both, and then here's another thing that was a little bit confusing. They both were acting like baby faces when they came out, with acknowledging the crowd, smiling and all. But I understand that once the ring and the bell goes, you're now into beast mode and survivor mode. I get that once you're in that square circle or even in the octagon, you could be, you know, waving to the crowd. And once that horn rings or that bell rings in this case, in the wrestling business, you're going full beast mode. And I could appreciate what Brock did there. And especially at the end of the match, yes, I know you don't put your hands on officials or whatever the case is, but this is wrestling. You're telling a story. He is the beast incarnated. He cannot be caged. Contained, led forward. You open up a match here for WrestleMania, Hell in a Cell versus Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar, or a fight pit. You could do either or these matches there in a contained environment where clear cut, you got to have a winner. Anything goes. We got to get finally, and maybe now you could introduce here, maybe there is an interference with a Bray Wyatt, who says run, coming in and attacking. Or menacing a Brock Lesnar, or we'll see more Bobby Lashley because he's more of a regular that you see him week after week on the shows, where maybe they'll start attacking. Then you introduce a Wyatt Six with Uncle Howdy and different characters coming to life, tormenting. where you're forcing Bobby Lashley to use the services of the Hurt Business. They've been teasing the Hurt Business so much, they need to already pay it off. Too many, a lot of teasing, you know, you got to eventually, you know, go with it. Either you're going to straighten out your hair, or you're going to put, make, or you're going to have, a, or you're going to have your hair curled up. So you got to make a decision there if you're WWE creative. And I think they're leaning towards that. That Brock going out and becoming a beast, I have nothing against that. I liked it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Brock Lesnar doing what he does best, you know, for a long time, he's been doing the beast incarnate, this, you know, the kind of, I wouldn't say he's kind of heelish. Well, now he's kind of like a baby face. And I kind of enjoy that. You know, I love Brock Lesnar as a baby face. I mean, come on, Cowboy Brock. Amazing. You know, and I would probably love to see maybe a triple threat at Mania between Bray Wyatt, Bobby Lashley, and Brock Lesnar. Make it a triple threat. Obviously, there's no disqualifications in triple threat matches. I would love to see maybe that might also be the sponsored match, with obviously rumored to be Cinnamon Toast Crunch being the sponsor of WrestleMania, you know, the sponsor for the match. Maybe a triple threat, maybe continue with this Bobby and Brock Lesnar. But we'll find out on Raw if, you know, Uncle Howdy or Bray Wyatt wants to show up and confront Bobby Lashley. We'll probably find out then. So, yeah.
All right, so I know Bobby Lashley's the cinnamon. Who's the toast and who's the crunch between Wyatt and Brock?
The crunch is Brock Lesnar, and the toast is Bray Wyatt.
I don't know. Be interesting. I'm never say never when it comes to that. Jay, I don't want, but if they go away from this and they don't return this match, everyone wants to see Gunther taking on Brock Lesnar, that stare down in the middle of the ring there, unless they're planning that for later down in the summer, in Money in the Bank, because it is going to be overseas in London. Maybe that going to hold off for that. Maybe that's why. Just bear with me here, because I'm going to make a quick analysis why I think it's in England. That's why I think they went with the disqualification, no clear cut winner between these, a pinfall. And they're going to extend it to WrestleMania, because that is still Brock's office draw. That's a big battle with Titans. And then you leave that for Brock and Gunther to fight in England, where, you know, Gunther is from the European, of course, from Austria. But you want to get that crowd invested, and Brock is internationally superstar. That could even, dare I say, headline, you know, Money in the Bank, you know, Intercontinental title, the way Triple H, and we're going to get into it in a few, and you know, as soon as we, with this review, how he's elevating all the different mid-card titles. Man, wouldn't that make it special if Gunther somehow still holds on to the Intercontinental title all the way up to Money in the Bank, taking on Brock Lesnar? My goodness. Talk about long-term booking.
For sure. You know, if we get those two, either at Mania, Money in the Bank, WrestleMania Backlash, anything, anywhere, we just want to see these two men go at it. We kind of got a little bit of taste of what they have in the Royal Rumble, and I would love to see more of it. I want to see an actual match. You know, we had Bobby Lashley in the Royal Rumble eliminate Brock Lesnar, kind of eliminating, you know, Brock Lesnar and Gunther in the match. I would love to see maybe an F5 or, you know, Gunther hit the powerbomb. I would love to see those two go at it for the Intercontinental Championship, and I would love to see Gunther come out victorious.
Well, we'll see when they'll plan that, but a match that big and a magnitude with those behemoths has to be in an open air, in a large crowd, a big venue where you like a stadium show. And that's why I think I'm pushing where it's gonna be Money in the Bank. That is gonna be a big stadium show out in England. If they don't do it at WrestleMania, who knows, maybe come sometime next week when we're doing the reviews on either SmackDown or Raw, where we get that word that is going to be at WrestleMania. So to stay tuned on that. So we won't put too much. Well, to be continued. That's the best way to put it there. Where Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar goes here. Who's the next opponent? Who's not the next opponent? Which way creative is going? But either way they go with it, I'm all right with it. I'm invested. I am going to watch it, because it's still whatever. Whenever you hear that Brock Lesnar music, even the Almighty music, your ears perk and want to hear it because, oh, wait a minute. Let me, you know, must watch when it comes to these two performers. Moving forward here, we get something rare that the WWE don't do much, but hey, we're moving into a new direction. We have a mixed tag team match here. We have Edge with his wife, Beth Phoenix, taking on Finn and Mommy, a.k.a. Rhea Ripley, in a match here. I thought personally, and I said it yesterday when I was doing the watch along, I thought this was going to be a snooze fest. I thought I was not going to enjoy this match. I said, oh my God, I'm tired of the Edge year long or whatever, 9.5 to 10 month long story with this Judgment Day. And I'm like, I'm over it. But I got to say, I was totally, totally, totally entertained by this match. What was your thoughts on this match between Edge, Beth Phoenix, Finn, or Rhea? Either you or Barris could let me know what your thoughts on that.
I enjoyed it. I also thought it was going to be a snooze fest. I thought I hate the storyline. I don't want it to continue. I need that to be over and done with. You know, it's a long storyline, but, you know, long-term booking as it is, man. Obviously, we had Edge and Beth and Finn and Mommy, the 2023 Royal Rumble winner, going at it. This match, without giving spoilers, I'm going to say it's probably top three match of the night. Obviously, with Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn, and the men's and the females Elimination Chamber, I would put it top three.
Right. And I want to make this clear, though. Edge has not wrestled in Montreal in 17 years. 17 years was his last match in Montreal. The pop that he received from the Montreal fans. I mean, you know what? Kudos to the Montreal fans. They made that. They made SmackDown as well as Elimination Chamber one of the greatest premium live events. And it's only 2023, just started. It's only 2 months. This is the second premium live event for the main roster. And right now they have made it phenomenal.
Go ahead.
All right. Hi, Kevin. This is Barris.
Welcome aboard.
So, like, obviously, in my opinion, Rhea and Beth technically carried that match because I don't know why, but it made it focus more on them two a bit more rather than, you know, just having, like, Edge and, like, focusing on, like, Edge and Beth as a whole and Finn and Rhea as a whole. And like, obviously, just like what you and Jay were touching on, that it might have been a snooze fest because like I want the feud to be over too. So it's like, oh, just get rid of this match or whatever like that. But the match actually went better than I expected.
Absolutely.
And FTR with the big rig.
Absolutely. You saw the in and out of the match there. One of my favorite spots here was the both ladies taking both men up on the powerbomb off the top ropes. The both ladies showing their larger than life persona. This is why you have that mixed tag team match. And I know everybody's like, why? And of course you said both ladies, Phoenix and Ripley, looked like the dominant force in the match. They carry that match. There you go. When you see the pictures of them double powerbombing. And also they're telling a story because Beth Phoenix was the glamazon, big woman, big, larger than life, kind of like, I don't say passing the torch because Rhea Ripley is Rhea Ripley, but now Rhea Ripley is becoming this big up-and-coming obstacle in the women's division, ready to go into stardom and looking good heading to WrestleMania because she's going to take on the daughter of a legend herself, Charlotte Flair, and I love the way the story they told in this match. They were dominant. Both ladies, because let's face it, Finn right now is not in no push for a title run or any program. He's just right now part of the Judgment Day, one of the hottest faction, but there's not really anything in the next few months for him to get. They're not having heated him up yet. He's not getting heat up. He's just a performer. Edge, we know he's coming down to the end of his career, who's going to retire in the summer. He's not in no title picture, although we'll talk about that later because we got some breaking news at the end of the show. We'll talk about it. But my point is, you're focused on the right ladies. Of course, and let me ask you this, both of you guys, when they did the grit, that finishing move, the FTR move there, the grit cut, oh man, with the shattered machine, I was like, oh, wait a minute, here we go. This is I love the finishing. Jay, what are your thoughts on that?
I was like, whoa, what the heck? You know, obviously that move, FTR, but wow, they come out victorious with that move, the finishing move. Big Rig, aka
Big Rig.
Yep, there you go. So I enjoyed that move. I enjoyed the match entirely. You know, as I said before, snooze fest. It turned out to be an amazing match.
It was good.
And yeah, it was good. And I did not expect this match to go on, this storyline to go on as it is. I thought it was going to be over at Extreme Rules, but it turned out it's going to go longer. And I think it's going to go all the way to WrestleMania. I think they're going to go all the way with the storyline and finish it in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium. Varsity, you have any words about this, the Big Rig?
I already said my word.
Big Rig! There you go. Big Rig.
He's excited there. I think they will continue the match at WrestleMania. Finn versus Edge. It's gotta be, maybe that's the Cinnamon Toast Crunch match. Because it's, you know, there's gotta be something behind this, because you gotta get us invested with something. Is it a career ending match? I don't know, something different. You gotta give me a speculation, a gimmick, or something, because to watch a regular match between these guys again, you know, we saw the I Quit match at Money in the Bank, or Extreme Rules. What, you got to give me something different, guys. You got to give me something between these two guys. Or maybe they won't revisit this. We shall see. We'll see Monday night. We'll have to tune in Monday Night Raw, because there's a lot of interesting stuff that's going to happen. But we move on here to, I believe, my favorite spot of the night here was the men's United States Elimination Chamber match. My God, this to me is going to be one of my favorites. Here are the participants in the Elimination Chamber match. You have all the defending champion, Austin Theory, Seth freaking Rollins, Johnny Gargano, Bronson Reed, Damian Priest, and Montez Ford. These six competitors. Boy, this is one thing I'm going to tell you. When we saw guys going in the pod, remember, that's that way they go. You get four guys going in the pod. You start off with two. When I saw Johnny Gargano going up against Seth freaking Rollins. Now, Johnny Gargano to the WWE Universe, when he has his return back, hasn't been so great. It's been lukewarm. Sometimes he gets a little bit of, at the beginning, when he first debuted in Toronto, he got that nice pop. After that, he's like, this Steve Stifler from the American Pie coming out. he was a little goofball with the giving the money of the Miz. I thought when I saw them, both of them wrestle, by the end of the night, I know why they call him Johnny Wrestling, because he shined phenomenal. What was your thoughts there?
With the two Seth Rollins and Johnny Gargano starting off, I was excited. I was like, ooh, I get my boy Seth freaking Rollins and I get Johnny Wrestling going at it. Finally, I mean, you know, amazing. The picture there proves it all right there. They had a good time. They had an amazing, amazing match. And, you know, as you said before, Johnny Gargano lukewarm, you know, and right now I kind of think he's stale. He needs something. He needs like kind of a little push to get started with what he wants to do. You know, obviously that Miz thing kind of didn't really give him a push. Obviously because of the Dexter Lumis and the Miz thing going on for way too long. You know, each and every week on Mondays, you got Dexter Lumis taking the Miz out, you know, and then now you got Johnny Gargano entering the page. I'm glad that they finished that storyline. I'm glad that it's all said and done. You know, and obviously Dexter and Johnny Gargano are now looking more like a tag team than they are singles competitors. Obviously, Johnny Gargano, you know, assisting Dexter Lumis and matches, obviously coming with him to the ring. I would love to see them be a tag team and possibly go after the tag titles. That will probably start something going after the Usos or whoever comes out of WrestleMania with the tag titles, if they have a WrestleMania tag team match. And possibly Johnny Gargano might go for a United States Championship opportunity sometime later down the road, possibly. Or even Dexter Lumis might go for a United States Championship. But all in all, Seth Rollins, Johnny Gargano, props to them for going at it in the beginning of the Elimination Chamber.
Right. What did, here's the moments that we're talking about Gargano here right now. Gargano, I want to give you some of his phenomenal accomplishments in this Elimination Chamber. I one thing that got me going when he delivered that Hurricanrana to Rollins off the pod onto Theory, Priest, and Ford down below. That to me was like, oh, wow! And the way they made it, he made it safe. The guys were risky but safe. I know it sounds like an oxymoron. Also, Gargano delivering the final beat to Rollins, and then he added the star curve stomp, and then Ford delivered the frog splash when they eliminated a certain wrestler. We'll get to in a moment. I love that with Gargano and the teamwork and the karate. And first of all, I want to give kudos that all six competitors all were at the same time before the eliminations happened, which allowed the spots in the match. I think Gargano looked so strong teaming up with that, and he needed that so bad there, Jay. And also now I want to go into the next guy that I want to emphasize on this of all six was Bronson Reed. My God, Bronson Reed looked like an obstacle. He is going to be a problem. That big behemoth. You know, you needed that big behemoth in this elimination, because then you brought a little bit of difference on it. I love the Bronson Reed spots here. Bronson Reed looked so strong. It took a village, you know, to pretty much get him down, eventually leading down to his elimination, being eliminated. But Bronson Reed, let me talk to me about Bronson Reed. How did he look in your eyes? What was that stand out with Bronson Reed towards to you?
Now, when I saw Bronson Reed was in the Elimination Chamber, I thought to myself, why is he in the Elimination Chamber again? Obviously, he was kind of like one of the oddball in the chamber. You know, we don't every day see somebody like Bronson Reed besides last year's Rumble in the Elimination Chamber. It's most likely big names, big stars in there. And obviously, he just came back to the WWE. And before he left, he told Triple H on the phone that, you know, he's never gotten a chance to be in the Elimination Chamber, the Royal Rumble, or headline WrestleMania, or be even in a WrestleMania match. So great to see Bronson Reed accomplishing what he wanted to do, was be in the Elimination Chamber. Unfortunate that he got eliminated first, but hey, we have now the top stars in the Elimination Chamber continuing on with what they wanted to do. And, you know, I want to see powerhouses like Bronson Reed inside of these matches. It makes it more entertaining, because we had last year Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. Obviously, Bobby Lashley got injured in the match and was taken out. And, you know, one of those spots in that match was Brock Lesnar F5-ing Austin Theory off of the pod. We kind of got a little bit more of those kind of big moments in both of these Elimination Chamber matches. Same with the women's too, with Liv Morgan. What an amazing spot. And here, you know, we got Bronson Reed going at it, being a powerhouse. You know, he tried to get to put somebody through the chamber doors. Obviously, it didn't work because it opened up a little bit when he did it. Maybe if he kind of tried to do a spear, maybe it would have worked. I think he wanted to go through the pod, but it didn't work, obviously. But, you know, hey, Bronson Reed, continue what you're doing, and you're going to be a big star on the main roster.
Indeed, and of course, the powerhouse. We saw Bronson Reed hit a double Samoan drop combo, a fall-away slam with a Samoan drop on Gargano and Rollins. That was a big, big spot there for Bronson Reed. And speaking about the big behemoth, big, massive. You, like you said, you want big guys, and of course, this made the US title elevated again under Triple H's regime. Mid card titles are so elevated; they're a prestige now to try to chase that. And of course, when you talk about big behemoth, my pick to win it is the Pride of the Bronx, and of course, Damian Priest. My goodness, Damian Priest looked like a bad Emma out there. You know, choke slamming, grabbing folks there. It was phenomenal. But besides, he came out with the he looked like he went to Game of Thrones and went to the king of the north and took the crown away from him, the Night King, and he came out with that crown in purple. My God, he looked like a really menacing force there. What was your presentation on Damian Priest here? I thought he looked another menacing big guy.
Yeah, I agree. He, you know, in the chamber, he was phenomenal, hitting big boots, choke slams, things like that, making it harder for these competitors to try and eliminate him or eliminate other competitors as well. You know, and him coming out with that kind of like Game of Thrones looking kind of ring gear or entrance gear. And first thought, when I saw the crown and the thing in his hand, I was like, the first thing I thought, Baron Corbin. Because the thing in his hand kind of looked like what Baron Corbin holds when he was King Corbin. Obviously, the crown is different. And you said Game of Thrones. I never watched Game of Thrones personally. I might have to hop on it now since Damian Priest kind of lighted that little candle there with his entrance gear. But, hey, Damian Priest, another big name, another big competitor in the Elimination Chamber. And he's gonna go a long way with Judgment Day. And I don't think Judgment Day is going to end anytime soon. I think they're going to be another version of the Shield and go a long way, win titles, win opportunities, win all these matches. I think they're going to go a long way.
Indeed. And Priest looked phenomenal there with the spots there. He hit a razor's edge that I was like, ooh, you know, he does his homage always to Scott Hall and a big Scott Hall fan of him. And he got to do that razor's edge there. Phenomenal job there. And then we'll talk about now, you know, another guy who was extremely impressive and legendary performance in the Elimination Chamber, if you ask me, speaking about a legend, Scott Hall, was Montez Ford. Montez Ford, my goodness. Everyone knows that eventually, you could hear it coming in the air tonight. A shout out to Phil Collins and that beautiful song. But you could feel it coming in the air with Montez Ford. He's about to take that rocket ship and just go with it. WWE is pushing him. Boy, this is, if you're going to say what was memorable about this, you could mention everybody. Because one thing I love about this creative, without any spoilers, you don't know who's going to win this Elimination Chamber. At that time, when we get Montez Ford in there, coming in there, and Montez Ford, my goodness, from the Frog Splash, and of course, one of the biggest spots that I think we're going to be talking about Elimination history is the way his Swanton kind of died from the top of the damn Elimination Chamber onto all sides. Nice. That was phenomenal. Awesome move there. My goodness. And for my God, when you saw that from Montez, I was like, go get it, Montez Ford.
Yeah, for real. I thought Montez was going to win the Elimination Chamber. I really wanted him to be United States champion. You know, he's a big star in the company, obviously. And when he did that, I kind of remembered a certain Elimination Chamber moment. John Morrison and El Torito. That kind of was kind of similar to what he did. You know, obviously with, you know, El Torito in the Elimination Chamber in that tag team match, in the Elimination Chamber match, he kind of go on to the top and he hit a crossbody. And then John Morrison hitting the leg drop. It was phenomenal. I enjoyed Montez Ford and all the moments that he did in the Elimination Chamber. I knew he was going to be, you know, he was going to have those OMG moments in the chamber with the kicks, the DX chops, and all that stuff. He was on fire. He was going at it.
His mannerisms, the way he his mannerisms in the ring. Not only he also giving homage to people's. He had a people's elbow. He took off the sleeve. He was giving homage to some of the wrestlers before him. I was like, whoa, go ahead, Montez. The crowd erupting. He even got the pin there on Damian Priest. He hit his blockbuster move. My goodness. Right? And, of course, what was your thoughts, Barris? Give me your thoughts. We haven't heard from Barris in a while. Let's go, Barris. I know you're in there. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I'm still here. I mean, obviously Montez Ford was my pick from the get-go once he won his way into the Elimination Chamber. And obviously he exceeded my expectations by far, with the spot from the top of the chamber to all in all, he was just an MVP of that match, in my opinion, pretty much.
Yes, indeed. And now it'll take us to another competitor. We still got two more competitors we haven't even talked about, spotlighted there. It's Seth freaking Rollins. Now, Seth freaking Rollins started off with Johnny Gargano. You know, what can you say about a Seth freaking Rollins? You have nothing, and Ollie really have nothing negative to say from Seth Rollins. He is just pure, pure entertaining whenever he gets into the ring, no matter what he does. I thought he was perfect here with that spot up on the top of the pod with Johnny Gargano. The chops, all the different back and forth. You know, you first started off with classic wrestling, arm bar and roll ups. I love that with Rollins. He could fight you in any style. You want to fight high flyer, you want to do amateur wrestling, you want to do wrestling, you want to do name it all. Seth freaking Rollins is a jack of all trades. You never have anything there with those super kicks to the pedigrees. My God, I cannot stop talking about how Rollins looked here. Of course, he's in there. Finally, we get Austin Theory, who gets involved there. We'll move it along a little more. Austin Theory, of course, being opportunistic. I love when Austin Theory was trying to tell Damian Priest direct traffic, and he got chopped and turned around. Let me one thing. Austin Theory is getting it. He's only 26, 25 years old, but, man, he gets it. He gets it. I can't say anything negative much more about Theory. A lot of people were glad that he dropped the cell phone gimmick. But Austin Theory and Seth freaking Rollins, you're looking at 1A and 1B when it comes to the division or in wrestling right now.
Yeah, I would agree. And I'm going to kind of touch on Seth Rollins, man. He I love him in these matches, man. He kind of brings joy to me when I see him come out and have those matches. And Austin Theory. Wow. I love Austin Theory. I think his gimmick now, the now, is amazing. I love that he dropped the cell phone gimmick. It kind of was kind of cringy a little bit, you know, with the way the time was, with people with the TikToks and, you know, the all that kind of Instagram reels and YouTube shorts, all that kind of stuff. You know, I love that he dropped it. And Johnny Gargano, when Theory was running away from Johnny and Seth, and he got on that pod, and he didn't realize the opposite door was open, too. He didn't realize. And then Johnny Gargano kind of was, like, pointing behind you. Like, look behind you. Seth's behind you. And they both jumped in there, got beating on Seth Rollins, closed the door, and got more beating on him, you know, when there was three competitors. I enjoyed it. I liked it. You know, obviously, with Austin Theory, you know, being the way he is, he brings the A-game every single time he's in a match. He brings it all. And, you know, I enjoy him.
Absolutely. And also, when you mention about Theory, Gargano, I know when that moment where Theory was like, when they were, the kudos to the crowd again, I cannot stop giving you guys flowers. When they were singing the Seth, they pretty much sang it mostly all the night. Oh. Then Theory goes, you see, they're cheering him. They're going for him. Why not we team away? And I love he referenced the wave back to his their NXT days. You know, like, they you know, before in the old days, or when Vince McMahon was ahead of creative, but all to say, you never referenced the past. It's like, you know, you everybody got Men in Black when it came to wrestling. You never remember what happened 10 years ago, 2 years ago, let alone the last pay-per-view. You know, you're supposed to have amnesia. And I love the fact that they're bringing that homage there with NXT. They were part of the wave. They were part of together. Let's go after this guy who is over with the crowd. He's an obstacle. I love that. I love that there. And like, oh, and of course, I love Michael Cole explaining it and letting us know what was happening as well, telling that story there and also letting people, oh, they were a group. Now, guess what it just did? If you're a casual, maybe I got to go see some of these old on Peacock NXT days when they were the wave and they were together. Where did this originate from? I love what they did there.
You're not yourself. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I like how he tried with Damian Priest to get him to team with him, and then Austin and try to get Johnny Gargano. He's playing that heel. He's like, oh, I need somebody to team with so I can take them out and then turn on them so I can take them out as well. I enjoy it, and obviously it doesn't work. Those mind games will work with these type of people. The high name Seth Rollins, Johnny Gargano, Damian Priest, Bronson Reed, all of them. They don't work. They do not work with them. Obviously, they're kind of smarter than Austin Theory. But Austin Theory, man, he when he was in NXT, I didn't really see much of him. I knew about the way. I knew about the weddings, all that stuff that they were doing in NXT. I knew about it. And him relighting that candle is like, hey, we can be a team again. We can do this again. We can bring the way back. And obviously, Johnny's like, nope, not happening. I don't want that to happen.
Yep, and then we started seeing, of course, let me give a little bit of the eliminations. Of course, we saw Brunson Reed got eliminated. Of course, he got triple teamed. Gargano delivered the the finishing blow there with Seth Rollins and Ford from the Frog Splash. They got he's eliminated. Damian Priest with the Razor's Edge eliminating Gargano. And then we saw Ford eliminating Damian Priest with the Blockbuster. He's out. Then, of course, you have left Seth Rollins, Montez Ford, and Austin Theory. Montez Ford gets eliminated there with a curb stomp that Rollins hit, and Theory gets the pin. But it looked like Montez Ford was completely hurt, where the point where they had to call assistance from the back of the ring back, and folks had to come out to assist Montez Ford. Montez Ford had that spot against the ring, and that curb stomp looked like he was totally not concussed, but got the wind knocked out of him. If you watch football, when guys, and it opened the chance here for Montez Ford to, as they pull him off the cage, he falls. You know, he just collapsed a little bit there. Good job there on his self, but we all know it led to none other than Logan Paul coming out. And I mentioned that when I saw Montez Ford hurt and I saw that they opened up the Elimination Chamber like that, I was saying that to Terrence. I said, Terrence, I think this is a Logan Paul spot. And that happened way, like about 3 minutes later, Logan Paul comes out. And because I saw the doors open too much for outside interference. And lo and behold, I snipped it, I called it, and I was like, I was surprised, because there's no secret to it, because Logan Paul and Seth freaking Rollins been having a little beef back and forth, setting up a possible tease. But let me, your thoughts on Logan Paul coming out there and hitting that buckshot lariat? It looks better than anybody on that AEW roster.
For sure. For without a doubt. He hits that buckshot lariat like it's like he's the best at it, doing at it. And you know, I like Logan Paul. I like what, you know, what he's doing. I like him in the ring. I like him when he hits those viral moments. I enjoy it. But when he targets Seth, man, when it comes to Seth, I kind of hated that. I was like, when Logan came out, I was like, oh come on, man! I wanted Seth to win. If it wasn't gonna be Montez, it had to be Seth. But obviously, hitting that buckshot lariat and then hitting Seth Rollins' own move on Seth, the curb stomp, letting Austin Theory get the win with the A-Town down, and you're still United States champion, Austin Theory. What an amazing Elimination Chamber. I'm putting that in my number two spot in these matches. Wow. I enjoyed it. I liked it. One of my favorite Elimination Chamber matches in the past 5 years. Wow.
This was the match of the night for me. I really love this one. Personally, I really enjoyed this one. To me, it took the cake. I mean, you know what? If this was, you know, Elimination Chamber, I remember I was having a conversation with my wife about it. Last year's Elimination Chamber, I don't remember nothing of it. You know, I just remember that it just Lashley got hurt, got speared through, and that's it. You know, it wasn't memorable to me. Darnell Davis, salute Darnell Davis. I remember when we used to stop at 42nd Street and look at wrestling in the window glass, and I'll be late to my package for delivery. he's bringing up some good memories there. When I watch this, this is going to be memorable from the crowd, from the implication. The story that I told with the United States champion, and then who's going to fight at WrestleMania for the World Women's Champion. Then we get the hometown sentimental main event here. Of course, let's get right into this hometown main event sentimental for the undisputed Universal Champion. It's the challenger, Sami Zayn, taking on Roman Reigns in the story on the saga of the Bloodline. And my goodness, I just want to say this wrestling brings moments. And I'm going to tell you, this is the moment in the last 10 years that we have not had. When first the Tribal Chief, smartly done, arrives first into the ring, of course, chorus of boos, he takes his time. He knows how to milk that entrance, comes in. And then when we get Sami Zayn, kudos to Sami Zayn going back to his original theme, Worlds Apart, coming out. I know he debated on SmackDown, and that was another moment in television history. You know, to be honest, in wrestling television history, that Sami Zayn probably got on Friday night. But then he comes out again, and when he comes into the arena, and they just stand there, and I love about 10 minutes of just silence of the crowd soaking it in, from Ole, 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 you know, the FU Roman chant. That was epic. If you didn't, have like that, or you were telling them to wrap it up, something was wrong with
you. Yeah. You know, them staring at each other for about almost 10 minutes. Wow. They were soaking in the moment. We haven't had a pay-per-view in Montreal in 30 years. Last time we obviously had the Montreal Screwjob. But you know, them coming back and letting Sami Zayn main event. Wow. The pop that Sami got last on Friday was phenomenal, and the pop at Elimination Chamber was better. Wow. And then doing the stare down with the ole, 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 and then the FU Roman and the Sami Zayn and all that chanting. Wow. I was like, wow, you guys are going to stand there for almost 10 minutes and stare at each other. Let them soak it in, man. You know, Sami had that soak in on Friday when he was sitting there for like a long time, letting everybody chant. And then he had his little promo. I enjoyed this match. I enjoyed every second of it.
Yes. You know, they and I love it because I'm going to salute and I want to give props to WWE Creative, Triple H and his creative team. First of all, if the producers of the Elimination Chamber, Jamie Noble and Abyss, you know, he works for WWE Creative. They did a phenomenal job as the producers of this whole card. Kudos to them. Because this whole card delivered, and especially there, Triple H not overseeing that of the main event part there, they didn't bow down. This is the difference between the WWE, and that's why they've been around for 40 plus years, and compared to fly-by-night companies that want to start up and they think they're going to take down the behemoth machine that is the WWE. That's the example. Everybody and their mother, at least in Montreal, wanted Sami Zayn to call over. Other promotions would have caved in. And they would have changed the whole narrative, the whole script, the whole trajectory, and probably would have done an audible and had Sami Zayn possibly gone over here. But I love the way they told that story. They stuck with their guns. They told this story, the back and forth, the right hand. The first, they started off with a classic locking of matches, of ring, back and forth exchange. We had a couple ref bumps. Two ref bumps to be exact. We saw Superman punch from Sami Zayn and possibly the near fall finishes. Roman Reigns, one of the best, is kicking out at 2.99 in the business. You know, Sami Zayn with some halua kicks. You've seen the tribal chief, Torment and trash talk Sami Zayn's wife, who was at ringside, you know, and beating her and saying that you could have been part of the family. And all in all, the drama and the story that this match sat within, and we haven't even got to the other nitty gritty parts of it. I'm gonna stop here to let you interject on this here, so we don't get out of control. What were your thoughts there with back and forth with all those near fall finishes and the Superman punches?
I was on the edge of my seat the entire match. You know, I was one of those people that wanted Sami to go over only because I wanted Sami to have a moment in his city and them to kind of be like, okay, we gave you the Montreal Screwjob. Now we're gonna we're gonna give you the victory here. And you know, man, wow, with all those spots, those moments, the luba kicks, the spears, the Superman punches, the near falls. Roman is one of the best. I mean, I'm gonna say he is the best competitor, like best person to pin. He kicks out at that last millisecond. Every time he does that, I get on the edge of my seat and I'm like, oh my God, this man really just did that. He does it in every single match, every single feud. He gets that near. He almost gets pinned. Almost. He makes it more believable as the people are going to want the other competitor to beat Roman. He makes it more believable every single time. And that's why he's one of my favorite and he's one of the best stars in pro wrestling right now.
Right. And man, with Roman Reigns, we all know whoever gets that three count on his shoulders, that's a big deal because he's 902 days as world champion. You know, and all those count, and that's why those near fall finishes become special, like you said. You get on your edge of your seat because that's going to be whoever gets that 3 seconds to keep those shoulders down, it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a major big deal. And that's why with all near falls that happen, we're on our edge, on our seat. Who is the guy? And, of course, we saw some ref bumps there. The first ref bump, referee bump, that one could have been a little more cleaner, Jay. Not to criticize it, because this was a flawless match except for that first referee bump. Because he kind of like, oh, he got in the corner. He just got a little push, and then he died. It looked like his soul came out of his body, and he went, and he was dead. You know, he got a, and it was just the most softest kill job I've seen in wrestling. I'm like, oh, really? You know, that's the only criticism I'm gonna have of that, because like, come on, ref, you could have, you know. The second ref bump was a good missed Superman punch. He got it right in the kisser, but the first ref bump. Led for Jimmy Uso to come in and interfere in the match. You know, now we've seen that Jimmy was cleared, allowed to travel to Canada, and he just went at it and beat up on Sammy there, where we needed a second ref. Although before the ref bump, before Jimmy got involved, Sammy got his finisher in, and he had the Tribal Chief pins for a three count, but we had no ref. I know that was typical wrestling that you expected. I expected that. Jay, I knew that Sammy was going to have a chance to win. But once the ref went down, I said he's going to get his finisher, and there's going to be no ref to come to three. What was your thoughts on that one?
I'm just going to say these refs are made out of paper, man. What the heck? They take one tiny little thing, and then they're down for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Like, come on. Even I could get up faster than that. But, hey, this happens almost every single time Roman – has a match with these big stars. That happened with Drew McIntyre. It happened with Brock Lesnar. It happened with all these stars, Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, Edge, and how all these, they get the ref out, Jay or Jimmy comes out, they beat on the other person, Roman gets the win. That's how this is how these matches work every single time. And, you know, when Jimmy came out, I was like, oh my God, please, Kevin Owens come out. Jay come out. Somebody come out and stop this from happening. And then when the second ref going down, then Jay came down. And then Roman obviously telling Jimmy to get the chair and was about to beat Sammy. And then Jay came out and stopped him. And then obviously Roman giving the chair to Jay. He's like, if I'm not going to do it, you do it. And obviously Jay was kind of like compensating. Like, what should I do? I don't know. Should I turn on Roman? Should I beat Sammy and alongside my, you know, be with my cousins and my brother? What should I do? And obviously Roman turned around, and it was kind of like history repeats itself, and he was getting ready to hit Roman with that chair. And obviously Roman remembered. He's like, oh, I've been in this situation more than once. Turns around and was like, whoa, what are you doing? You're going to hit Sammy or what's going to happen? And Roman pushing and shoving Jay just like he pushed and shoved Sammy. And I was like, okay, that's it. Jay is definitely going to turn on the bloodline. It has to happen now. And obviously it didn't happen. Sammy tried and speared Roman. And Roman moved out the way and speared Jay. Now that move right there, that little thing right there, is going to light something up for WrestleMania. I know what's going to happen. It's going to be a tag team championship match. I'm calling it right now. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Usos at Mania.
See, one thing about after you said that missed attempt from Sami Zayn on Roman Reigns when he moves out and Jay gets the spear, right after that, opportunistic Roman Reigns knocks and gets the pin on Kevin on Sami Zayn, leading to at the end of the match there where both Jimmy and Roman just beats the living snots out of Sami Zayn with the chair, obviously finally prompting Kevin Owens to come in. But we see that Tribal Chief retains his title. You don't know what Jay, because Jay was down. He never got back up from that spear. We didn't see him come back up from that spear. My point is, there's still a story within a story. It didn't really come to a conclusion. You know, like you said, could it lead to a tag team match? Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn taking on the Usos. I don't know. Everyone thinks that. I don't think so. I think Jay has a lot of love for Sami Zayn here. And I don't know if he's going to, but blood is thicker than water. I don't know if he's going to, I kind of see more of dissension in the World Tag Team titles between the Usos here, where I think the real storyline here is Jimmy, is Jey Uso and Roman Reigns, to be honest with you, more than anything else that I got out of this whole triangle. Not Kevin Owens and Sammy going for the tag titles. I feel more that there's some solved issues, because once you start putting your hands on and you mush the face like that, regardless, family or no family, that's a crossing of a line there. And they have to, that has to be addressed within the ranks. So it'll be interesting if they, if they'll bring in another, if Rikishi will get brought in here to try to mend fences, or is there, where is that a decisive split? Because family, I don't know. That to me, that's more, the way I got out, the more, there's more storyline within the, and Sami Zayn did what he wanted to do. He got in there. Remember, and I hope WWE pulls that promo. I'm going to look for it for the next. I'm going to look for it. I'm going to try to bring it as a clip where Sammy himself says, I'm like an annoying plague that gets in. And he even said it himself when he was talking to the Bloodline, you know, oh, yeah, I'll infiltrate. And he actually said the plan he was going to do to the Bloodline, but he was talking about what he was doing elsewhere. And I'm going to bring that promo because it's going to, and I hope WWE brings it up where they could show that and try to, like you said, Jay, maybe have a tag team match, and that's the only way they could save face. That I was Sammy's plan all along, and Jimmy, Jay was like, "I told you that, Oos, you didn't listen to me. You're always hard headed. That's why I can't be part of this. You know, you do your thing," and I think that's where that dissension is going to come at if they wanted to play it that well.
I'm gonna kind of go a little different path. I think, well, they're gonna have that tag team match at WrestleMania. I think during the match, Jey Uso is going to not be tagged in. He's going to jump off the apron and walk off on his brother. I think that's when he's like, okay, I had enough. I'm done with this shenanigans. I'm done with you guys not believing me. I'm done with you guys, you know, doing all this stuff to me and Sammy. I'm done. I'm going to go off. And then that's when we get Sammy and Kevin Owens as your new Undisputed Champions. Or they might even split the titles and just go off their one title. They might just go off the SmackDown titles, and then night two we get the Raw titles. We never know. But I hope this. I know the storyline can't be over. We got that on the post. The post conference. They didn't. They filmed it, but they didn't show it on live. Sammy was there on the post conference, and he said this storyline is not done with whatsoever. It is nowhere near close to being finished, and I hope it continues past WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's what I finished. I said that before. I didn't even see the part. I said there's still more storyline to this. It doesn't going to end tonight, and it's not going to, I don't think it'll end in WrestleMania. There's so much storyline that could be written here. This is long-term booking at its best for that. All in all, we saw that tonight, this was a successful record, one of the most highest grossing and watch Elimination Chamber in WWE history. This has broke some record. The crowd, again, electric, phenomenal job. Two nights here in Montreal, well deserved. They weren't the snooze fest in Pittsburgh. You know, we saw in Tennessee, Nashville, where we saw on that Monday Night Raw, and both SmackDown and Monday Night Raw that was at Nashville and at Pittsburgh. They were snooze fest. You know, although I did see some times there of security telling the people to sit down and kind of not to cheer, which, you know, if that's the case of WWE, let the fans cheer, because it looks good on television. I saw the security guard in different corners telling the fans to sit, to get down. I don't like that. You know, if these guys, if these paying customers who's going to pay a lot of money to sit there in the front, over thousands of dollars to sit there, and they want to stand up to go electric and cheer, let them. Because you're going to look, it's going to look terrible. It's going to look like a snooze fest like Pittsburgh. And maybe Pittsburgh was maybe too cordial, you know, but you don't see that in All Elite Wrestling. You see the fans always on their feet, electric. Like I said, you could put two turds in the toilet bowl rolling around in the middle of the ring. As long as it has the AEW sticker, they go nuts with a beer in their hands. WWE has got to let the fans get there and be rowdy. That's just my you know, control rowdiness. But if they want to get up and cheer, you got to let them. And I don't like that from security. That's the only negative I saw last night.
I'm just going to say this now. During the Roman versus Sammy match, I saw two security guards at each corner. I knew they were like, okay, they said they were going to riot. We know the outcome. Let's just get ready just in case if they tried anything to get over the barricade and attack Roman. And kudos to Montreal for having that security, be there, be on point, and not letting anybody do what they want to do. And hey, it is what it is. We're gonna continue this storyline as it is, and hopefully get some more on Friday. I know Raw is in Ottawa, Canada. I know that's there. I know that's what's gonna happen on Raw. But SmackDown is where we want to be and want to see this storyline. This storyline, I'm just gonna say now. I've said it before. I know a lot of people say this is one of the best storylines in the century. I love this storyline. History, century, anything. It's one of the best storylines we've ever had in a long time.
This is the guy, Barris. Guy, Barris. Guy, give me your thoughts.
Say it.
Well, I just said, and possibly one of the greatest stories in the modern era of wrestling.
In recent history, one of the best. The best, top notch, because it still hasn't. It's still not over, and we want more. We're not, you know, it. You know, right now we just said it a few seconds about 20 minutes ago with the Edge and the Judgment Day. Can we end this, please? We're not saying that here with the Bloodline. We want to see more. There's more levels. The more you, it's like an onion. The more you peel it, the more it gives you more of a strong scent. And we want more. We want to peel more because there's more to it to give us, and we're excited about it. You know, we want to see more of it. We're not bored of it, and it's just keep getting different levels. You could add so much intrigue, storylines, and different direction with it. You know, and it's just what us as wrestling fans want. You know, and wrestling has its moments, and it's also telling a story. It is a adult soap opera, but with sports entertainment, and that's what it's doing for us. We want to tune in, you know, like you said, you can't wait for Friday Night SmackDown. You know, when who would say that on a Friday night on a young folks that want, you know, Friday night is usually a leisure night. You go bowling, you go watch a movie, you go dancing, you go have dinner, so forth. My point is you go out, but Friday Night SmackDown is becoming must-see TV because you want to see what's next in the WWE. Monday Night Raw, you know, oh my God, you're beginning of the week, you're exhausted, first thing back on the job for the Monday to Friday folks. Can I stay up for a 3-hour show? Yes, you're looking forward for this Monday night. Who's going to open up Monday Night Raw? What promos is it? The women's? Is it Asuka coming out? Talk about she's pointing to the sign for WrestleMania. Is it Austin Theory? We know there's an open challenge now that Edge in Ottawa, the Canadian Sun, is going to take on the United States champion in Ottawa. An opportunity for Edge to go up against Austin Theory. That was announced at the press conference because he said he's going to have open challenges. And the first one to call it out was Edge in his native soil. That's phenomenal there. What an opening. You know, Monday Night Raw, we got it. It's becoming must. WWE with the booking and the story it's telling us and the results and the way they're telling the matches is making WWE all the programming from main event to level up. It's must see TV, and you gotta. And what a time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah, what a time to be a wrestling fan. You got all these storylines and storylines in between storylines. Even on NXT, you got on Raw, you got Austin Theory and Edge, the Judgment Day and Edge. You got Bianca Belair and Asuka. You got all these storylines that you have on Raw, and then SmackDown. You have the best storyline of history with the Bloodline, Sami Zayn, and all those who's with who. Is Jay with the Bloodline? Is Jimmy getting ready to turn on the Bloodline? What's Solo Sikoa thinking about? Because we haven't really heard much about Solo Sikoa for a long time, for a while now. What's next for Roman? What's next for Sami and Kevin Owens? You got Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. What are they going to do next? You got all these storylines, man. And then you got AEW. You got all these things on AEW that I'm ready to see. And New Japan. They just had a good pay-per-view. You know, and what's next for Mercedes?
Not only that, right now, with WrestleMania coming, a lot of the storylines come to conclusion. You know, now it's kind of like a reset with feuds. WrestleMania, the ending of a lot of different feuds. You know, you get the payoff finally at WrestleMania, the big matches, the big stories come, and then you have the, usually that's why the night after WrestleMania is a big Monday Night Raw, because you start reintroducing new feuds, possibly new characters, new wrestlers come into the company. With that said, we saw, I know you just mentioned before, you know, we got off a little bit out of the WWE podcast. You mentioned New Japan Wrestling. We saw that Jay White has finished his obligations with New Japan Wrestling. He had a match against Eddie Kingston, lost that match. They pretty much kind of booted him out after that at the end of the promo. And, of course, they thanked him, whatever the case was. Jay White, I believe, is coming to the WWE, although now report says that WWE is looking for even a bigger name to sign, bigger than Jay Wright. But I think Jay Wright is going to be with the WWE. Book that, because if it was going to All Elite Wrestling, the way Eddie Kingston left the ring, gave him his a lone shot to kind of like relish it in, doesn't. If he was going to AEW, you know, AEW has that working relationship already. Jay Wright already wrestled in AEW before the Forbidden Door. It doesn't feel special. It to me, it felt like we're not going to see him no more in New Japan Wrestling or All Elite Wrestling, period, or MLW or Impact. You look like it's a WWE run where you become exclusive to WWE, and it looks like it's going to be the WWE who's going to have Jay Wright's services. Other than that, there, let me ask you, do you feel any truth to the big fish being Kenny Omega signing by the WWE?
Yes, I 100% think that's what's going to happen. I hope it's going to happen, because if we get Kenny Omega, hey, AEW, good luck in your future, man. That's all I'm going to say. Good luck to AEW, because if we get Kenny Omega, it's game over.
Yeah, bro,
it's over, folks. It's all over.
You know what? I won't even say that it'll necessarily be over, but they literally – that's really a – big, big loss. Because he's already, like, probably one of the main attractions. And you take that away from a company, then.
It's like saying Roman Reigns is going to go to Impact Wrestling. Or Roman Reigns is going to go to New Japan. You're taking a big star from a big company and bringing him over to, well, the biggest wrestling company of all time.
Okay. I'm interested to see there. If they bring Kenny Omega, who's still champion, still trios champion, that's why. Could it be? Let me ask you this: I'm being facetious here, and I'm trying to be the devil's advocate here. Isn't that something that they're putting out? Fake news, maybe, so that, oh, guess what? Now I'm going to go watch AEW Revolution, because I got to see if they're going to drop the trios title. Because if Kenny Omega drops the title, he's leaving to WWE. And it's now people from the WWE is going to go pay and watch that train wreck to go to see if that's true. I think it's a bait and switch. Until I see Kenny Omega sign with the WWE personally, and I know it's official, I am not going to fall for that. That all the rumors, because I think that's just for the rumors so they could bring eyeballs in. You saw Tony Twitter fingers wants to book himself in WrestleMania with a match against Ariel Helwani. He decided to tweet and go after Ariel Helwani, calling him unbiased journalism, all that crap back and forth. And thank you, Tony Khan, the con man, watching SmackDown, and he probably watched the pay per view because I know he got he got offended when Michael Cole even took a jab at Tony Khan, and even Ariel Helwani called him the Snow Angel. So it's. You know, I think it's just so people could go watch and see if Khan is going to react on TV, or is Kenny Omega really going to drop the titles? I don't think so. I think I know his contract is up, but I'm having a hard time seeing him in the WWE, because WWE got a lot of stars still, and they got a lot of young stars. You know, so what does that do to the growth of a Carmelo Hayes? You know, a Trick Williams. A Bron Breakker, everybody's dying to get out of NXT to go to the main roster. So you bring in now Kenny Omega, you're pushing these guys, Gunther, you're pushing all these guys, Santo Escobar, you're pushing them back again. You're pushing them back because you're going to bring Kenny Omega up to the front of the line. You're not going to bring Kenny Omega to get these guys over. You're bringing Kenny Omega to headline and main event here. So now you're pushing guys even further back. And that's how you have dissension in the locker room. And I don't know. I think it's all, to me, I think it's just a little bit, I think, is there truth to it? There is some truth to it. But I don't think it's the WWE really going gaga over Kenny Omega the way they're saying. I think it's just a ploy of WCW, AEW, which is just copy and paste of WCW, with them saying that these guys are rumored to go so they could get boost. They did that with the Bucks when they were in a suspension. oh, they're going to sign with WWE. And guess what? We were all anticipating for the Bucks to return with Kenny Omega, and we couldn't wait. So I think that's just I think I've seen that, done that before. I'm going to have my guard up to think it's true or not. That's just me.
Hey, you never know. Never say never. You know, pro wrestling world, anything can happen. I mean, come on. You can have Michael Cole. I know this is probably never going to happen. I saw this on Twitter earlier today. Michael Cole versus Tony Khan at Dynamite. Make it official. But you never know. You never know what can happen in wrestling. And, you know, it's a weird world to be in. We're living in it. I mean, anything can happen. Will Ospreay, Jay White, anybody can come over to WWE. Anybody can come from WWE to AEW, AEW to WWE. Anybody can come to anywhere.
I'll tell you, me personally, you have a better chance of Bill Goldberg wrestling in AEW than Kenny Omega in WWE. That's just me.
Hey, and there was rumors that Goldberg was backstage at Elimination Chamber, and he was probably just there just to be there instead of there just to go out and start something else. Because once I saw that, I was like, please don't tell me he's going to go after Roman. I don't want that to happen. But, you know, he didn't do anything. So, hey, thanks. Thank you, Goldberg, for not doing anything. Thank you. Stay your ass away from wrestling right now.
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
No disrespect. No disrespect.
Yeah, no disrespect to Goldberg, but I don't want to see anymore.
You didn't hear what I said. I thought I could see Goldberg in AEW than right before than I see Kenny Omega in WWE. But you took it to another level. I appreciate that. No problem. But thank you for that insight. So, but Jose Melo, what's up? Jose Melo, salute. Yeah, with that said, also, I wanted to bring, I mentioned, teased it earlier, I want to congratulate Sasha, aka Mercedes Mercado. She won the world, she won the title. Not many people saw that. And just think of the crowd reaction she would have had in Elimination Chamber. She was part of that Elimination Chamber. Sometimes the grass is never greener on the other side. Sometimes you think it's easier. I know she had to take that chance, but right now she's just going to get lost in the shuffle. And then again, and it's just me, and I hate it to sound, I know I'm going to sound like a criticizing or hate or whatever the case, I don't really care right now, to be honest with you, but you torpedo Naomi's career, because what is Naomi? She's a glorified cheerleader now. Wherever Sasha or Mercedes does, Naomi's there in the crowd. She should be in the freaking bloodline, in the WWE, wrestling, making money on her own merchandise, making money and being part of doing something instead of being a glorified cheerleader and being a stooge pigeon to Sasha Banks. I'm sorry. All she's there doing and smiling in the crowd instead of being in the freaking ring. You're talented. You decided to follow Mercedes to do what? To do nothing. You're not even irrelevant. So guess what? There's other ladies taking your spot and getting elevated. I don't get what Naomi's, what she got out of it. Or Trinity got out of it by walking out. I really don't get it. Maybe you could explain to me. I don't get it.
Hey, all I know is they walked out. They were gonna go together and do something. They did their the walk, the catwalk. They did all that. And now where is she? Now what is she gonna do? She literally just screwed herself over. She could have been a big star. She could have been at WrestleMania this year. What is she doing now? Sitting at home, being on Twitter and Instagram, doing nothing. That's all she's doing right now. I know she's still signed with WWE. They froze her contract. She's still on the website and everything, you know. But I don't know what's next for her. Is she gonna go and follow with Mercedes and go to New Japan? Is she gonna go to AEW? Is she gonna go to Impact? What is she gonna do? Is she gonna go back to the Indies? We don't know what's next for Trinity. We do not know, and I hope she comes back to the WWE and joins the Bloodline. You know, give them another competitor. They're gonna lose Jay. Let them gain Trinity. Yeah, that's how that's gonna work.
Yeah, get a Bloodline to female.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's my point. You're saying modeling, but I don't think so. WWE, if they wanted to do fashion, WWE would allow them. It doesn't impede them from wrestling. To me, it was a bad move. It was a stupid move there because you didn't want to be participating in a six-pack challenge. I mean, the whole thing, looking back at it, was a stupid ploy for both ladies. It didn't make no sense. That, you know, I know New Japan is playing good money for her, but it's just, okay, now you won. Now what? Now you won. You beat Carly. You're the women's champion on night one. Now what? That's why I tell everybody, if Sami Zayn would have won the title, now what? What's the booking line? What's the main event? What's going to sell tickets? Now what? And that's Sammy my point. Cody. Huh?
Not Sami versus Cody. Now everybody said Sami lost. They want Matt Sami in the match. They want to make it a triple threat now.
They should.
That's what they're going to want now. Now this people are going to want on Twitter. They're going to go on Twitter and tweet, make it a triple threat. Put Sami in the main event.
No, just because you wrote it on Twitter, you're not going to get it. That's the problem. That's why AEW has the problem it's having now, because the damn owner listens to the people on the internet or wants to see it, because you guys change your mind from one day you wake up on the right side of the bed, the next day you wake up on the left and you want it on that side. They got plans. It's bigger. It's about money. It's about making the right money decisions. And that's why they don't book it that way. But Tony Twitter thing, it does. And look at the proof is in the pudding. His company stinks. They don't have a, they're falling apart. WWE, that's why they're a machine. That's why everyone gets mad. Oh, Vince is stubborn. He has his reasons. At Triple H, the wrestling creative, have their reasons. Listen, you know why was the biggest showing of why they didn't change that? Because they could easily given that title to Sami Zayn last night. Because he, believe it or not, he was over. But he was over only to 17,000 people, where Roman Reigns is beloved by millions and millions of people in Saudi, in England, in England, in India. He's bigger. And that's the picture that they see. They see the global phenomenon than rather the momentary heat. And I think that's what happens. We get excited at that moment, and WWE is looking at the global picture. And sometimes it sucks for us too. Trust me, I would have loved to see the triple threat match, but I don't think we're getting it. I don't think so.
Hey, it is what it is. Triple H kind of screwed people over, and now is screwing himself over. Now people are going to want Sami in the main event. They're going to complain and, you know, whine and stuff like that. That Sami didn't win. And now they're going to want Sami to be in the triple threat. And now Cody, what's going to – Cody's going to have heat now. Cody's not going to – now people are going to think Cody doesn't want to – they don't want Cody to win. They want Sami to be champion. You guys kind of screwed yourself over now, because now everybody wants Sami to be champion, Sami to, you know, be undisputed champ. What about Cody? What about Cody's opportunity? Everybody wanted Cody to win the Rumble. We got what we wanted. Now what's next? We want Cody to win. We want Cody to beat Roman. But now everybody's all about Sami Zayn. Everybody wants Sami to win. I mean, I don't know what they're doing.
Let me ask you, who got pinned last night?
Sami.
So why should you get over when you got pinned?
Hey, it's the people online. They want, but they never want to give back.
No,
I'm asking you.
I don't care about the people online, right? The question is directed to you. And Barris, you could answer as well. He got pinned. What's next? What is next? I'm asking you guys. Give me your honest opinion.
I mean, obviously, me and myself, I thought it was highly unlikely that Sami was going to win. And then I was also saying, well, like, if he does win, he's only going to hold it for only but so long and then drop it to Cody at WrestleMania. And then people would have been real pissed about that, because they wouldn't have been like, you know, Sami should have kept the title at the WrestleMania and stuff. And then, like, they'll completely end up turning their backs on Cody and stuff like that. But, like, obviously, in my opinion, fans are going to want one thing. And then they're going to want a whole bunch of other stuff. So, I mean, of course.
But I'm asking you, as a paying customer, I'm giving you money. I'm giving you a debit card, unlimited funds, as a paying customer. What are you willing? And listen, you can only use it this time here as a paying customer. What would you give your money, your hardworking money, to go see Cody versus Sami or Roman Reigns, who's an obstacle, who hasn't been beaten over 900 plus days and one on one? Or do you want to see a triple threat where Cody beat Sami, pinned Sami Zayn? Oh, he didn't pin Roman Reigns. You know, I'm not going to value that as a championship, because he really didn't pin the tribal chief. they're taking that away from the naysayers or the what ifs. That's why I believe it's going to stay a one-on-one match between Cody and Roman Reigns.
Just because.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Now that I think about it, they really just screwed us over. I wanted Sami to win, but in my back of my mind, I know Roman was going to win. They're going to have that match at WrestleMania. Cody's going to win. Cody's going to be champ and all that stuff. But they kind of just screwed everybody over with Sami, Sami Zayn in this picture, man. You know, you could have had Kevin and Sami at the Elimination Chamber against the Usos instead of having Sami versus Reigns and protect Reigns at Elimination Chamber and not have Reigns at the Elimination Chamber. Because that was the original plan, to not have Reigns at the Elimination Chamber. He wasn't supposed to be on this pay-per-view, and then plans changed real quick, and now he was main eventing with Sami. Now what's next for Sami? What is he to jump from main picture down to a tag team picture? I mean, that doesn't look good for Sami, or it doesn't look good for Triple H's booking. They just really just screwed himself over for that one.
But if his booking wasn't that good, why do and what's up with the record numbers of people that were watching this? This is and you just said it yourself from your mouth. I can't wait for SmackDown to see where the storyline goes. So if the booking was bad, why are you looking forward and excited to watch SmackDown? I'm just asking you the questions. I'm not being a hardhead or a prick. I'm just asking you the questions because I want you to get to the point there because I want to hear your thoughts, your what's thinking you, not what Twitter thinks. I want to know what Jay and thinks about it. That's why I'm asking you these questions in that form. So like, I want to see what you're thinking here. Why so much flip-flopping?
No, the reason why I want to see what happens on SmackDown, I want to see what happens with Jay. I want to see if Jay sticks with the Bloodline since what happened with Sami with spearing him and what's going to happen at Mania. I want to see if Sami and Kevin are going to align because we kind of got Kevin gave Sami the Lupa kick on Roman and then he walked out of the ring without hugging him or anything, without any interaction, without saying anything. He just walked off. Is Kevin Owens still with Sami? Is Sami still his best friend after what happened at Royal Rumble turning on Roman for Kevin Owens? Is Jay still with the Bloodline? Is Jay going to, be after Roman, or is Jay going to be back in the Bloodline and say, you know what? He speared me. That's it. It's over. I know what Roman did to Sami to Jay with the pushing and shoving when he did to Sami as well. That could also mean that Jay is going to turn on Sami. I mean, on Roman. I don't know what's next. I mean, are they going to strip the Usos of the title since Jay cannot compete? He is one of the tag champs. You can't really introduce Solo to be your champion because what are you going to have Solo and Jimmy going to do? I mean, they're gonna defend the titles at Mania against Sami and Kevin or Sami and Jay. What's gonna happen? I mean, I don't know. I was looking forward to see what's next for Jay, mainly Jay, because Jay right now I feel like is going to elevate from the storyline. Yeah. Same with Jay. I think he's gonna go all the way and he's gonna become a singles competitor.
Okay. All right. So it's. Let it sometimes marinate. Sometimes we get a little caught up on the emotions. Let the story unfold before WrestleMania, the night of WrestleMania, see how it goes. Maybe you never know. Things could happen. I'm trying to. There's got to be a stipulation where if Roman's in trouble, there's no Bloodline allowed to come in. Like you said, I'm with you on this one. It's starting to get a little stale. That Roman Reigns always got to have someone interfere and take out his opponent to get the victory. I want to see Roman Reigns get a start to finish victory clean. You know, we saw it against Brock. He had Solo Sokoa come out. We saw it, and so forth. And last night, we kind of want to see that get a definitive victory from Roman Reigns. I understand that, what you said. Now, let me ask you this. You think that's repairable after what Kevin Owens got hit in the nads at War Games and Survivor Series? I don't know if that, because you didn't see them hug. If you really want to leave the crowd happy, go home a little more happy, even though their hero lost that match, even though they beat the crap out of Roman Reigns and Jimmy, they beat the living snots out of them, but they never embraced, they never made up, they never mend fences. Last night, they could have done that in front of a big packed house in Montreal, and you would have let the fans go happy I'm feeling nostalgia, but they didn't do that. So that's why I don't think they're going to go for those tag titles. I think there's a lot of more uncertainty and more story with Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and the Usos. I don't think it's going to be what we think, that tag team they're going to go. Something different is going to happen that I don't know. I think they're going to swerve us. That's just me having a feeling. But I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
Before I get my thoughts on that, JL in the chat says this might cause drama, but Braun is a better wrestler and better on the mic than Roman.
I didn't acknowledge that. That's why I would have highlighted it. We all know Braun. I love Braun Breaker. I made a video. I love Braun Breaker, but he's not better on the mic than Roman. I didn't acknowledge it, but if you want to take 5 minutes to go on that, go for it.
Hey, listen, the mic thing, no. And the wrestler, no. I mean, come on, be for real. You got a champ 902 days. Do you realistically see Braun Breaker being NXT World Heavyweight Champion for 900 plus days?
No.
I'm good. We don't see. If he's going to do that, he's going to have a huge, stale, freaking a gimmick. He's going to have some stupid gimmick that's going to make his storyline stale and all that stuff. And Rhodes doesn't have a candle to Braun Breaker. What? Okay, never mind. Let me just stop with that. Let me go back to what we were talking about before I get something going on.
Stay on track.
I don't know what's going on with the storyline. It can go. There's millions upon millions of ways they can go with this storyline. They can go Jay turn on the Bloodline, Jay turn on Sammy, have a match at WrestleMania for the tag titles. They can have a one-on-one match. They can have it can be go any way they want it to go. But man, okay, let me just stop.
Listen. One thing about this is unpredictable. Triple H, Jamie Noble, Abyss, all the producers did a phenomenal job last night. The whole wrestling community, the wrestling creative team that Triple H surrounded himself with, they're unpredictable. You don't know where they're going with the storyline because it takes away, because the same people that are criticizing the Twitterverse that you listen to their opinions so much, they're the same ones that will spoil the cards. They will tell you who's wrestling, who's not, who's going to win, who's not. This is what creative is doing. They're taking that narrative away where we don't know what, you know, the Meltzers, the wrestling cringe, the wrestling cult, all the other people, they cannot put out the spoilers ahead of time. Now you must watch TV because you read before it was, oh, it's going to happen. I'm not going to watch it. I already know what's going to happen. They're making it where you got to watch it because you don't know what the hell the storyline, what storyline is going to be developed. That's what I love about this. This is why it's a good time to get into wrestling because it is phenomenal storytelling. You don't know what direction they're going to go. Sometimes it might not be the greatest that we like, but other people that are watching it, they're appealing and appeasing to them. I'm not a big fan of Johnny Gargano, but I love the story they're telling. You know, with him coming out of the Elimination Chamber. Now, personally, I want to see what's next. Where did it go with Johnny Gargano after that great showing out of the Elimination Chamber? What are they going to do with him next? Guys coming out of this chamber got over, and I want to see where their direction of their storylines go. And I don't know. Do you know what they're going to do with Johnny Gargano? I don't know. And that's the great thing about being unpredictable.
Yeah, I don't know. I said it earlier. Johnny Gargano's thing right now currently is kind of a little bit it's kind of stale. He needs that push. He needs that momentum to get a better storyline so we can kind of enjoy Johnny Gargano. I enjoyed him when he came up and then kind of came into that storyline, but then it's just a repeat over and over again, facing the Miz in a ladder match, all that stuff. He needs something.
But Jay, that's why I just finished saying that coming out of the Elimination Chamber, we're dying to see what's next. That's my point. What's next? What's next for Brunson Reed? Who is he gonna challenge or attack or go after? That's another one. Whoa, you know, Brunson Reed. And we already know where Seth Rollins is going. We already know where his trajectory, who is he going to take on and who's his opponent. We don't know where Brunson Reed is. Damian Priest, well, you know, I know he's part of that Judgment Day the storyline, but what's next? Who's Judgment going to go after? Who is Brunson Reed going to go attack? Who is Austin Theory's biggest obstacle coming to WrestleMania. Maybe he fights Austin Theory, fights a Bron Breakker at WrestleMania, and then at the Jedi could go ham, and he goes out in WrestleMania and he beats Austin Theory, and he becomes the United States champion. You never know.
Oh God! Listen, man, this Bron Breakker thing in the chat, it's getting to my nerves. I just showed Verse, and he was like, hell no. I'm not gonna touch on it. I'm just gonna leave it alone. Let it be. It is what it is. He thinks Bron Breakker is better than Roman. It is.
Hey, look, that's what is so fun about it right now, and it's fun to have wrestling fans. With that said, we've been over an hour and 40. Dinner's almost ready for me. I am hungry. I want to say thank you guys for joining me here on the Heel of the Ring podcast. It is the Elimination Chamber review. Oh, before you give me, what was your number of this pay-per-view? Give from 1 to 10, how did you class this pay-per-view event?
10 out of 10, A+. This is one of my favorite pay-per-views of the year. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than the Rumble, surprisingly. I mean, wow.
I said that last night.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing wrong with this pay-per-view whatsoever. I get it, the outcomes are not what we were looking for. We weren't looking for Austin Theory being still the champion. We were looking for Asuka to go to WrestleMania. We weren't looking at, you know, Roman still being champ. But it's storyline. It's booking. It is what it is. Let it be. This pay-per-view, my God, the storytelling, the OMG moments, the close calls, it was just amazing. I enjoyed it. I loved every single match. I gave it my A+. You know, wow.
Absolutely. I gave it a 9 because of the referee bump was a little bit clunky. Other than, just a little bit stuff like that there. But it was a 9. I liked it more than, even though we had the NXT ladies come out in the Rumble, but I really loved this Elimination Chamber. And for my guy Jay there, here we go. Here we go for you. There's my man Bron Breakker there. That's me right there on top there with the glasses. Yeah, you know I love Bron Breakker, so I just wanted to give him that little love there for him.
Ooh. Bron Breakker sucks.
Yeah, that's what he told. I don't see Grayson Waller with the title. Is Waller with the title? I don't think so.
Listen, man. I'm off of that Grayson Waller stuff now. You know, I'm on to Carmelo Hayes now. Carmelo Hayes is the next one. He's next in line.
And that's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. So, guys, have a good night, and hit those likes, and we'll see you next time.
I'm awesome! You people bought a ticket to see me, so shut up!
Get so mad, there's no control. Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you live under a rock, I might grab a bat, I don't know, my rap, my blood boils overnight. Oh God, here goes. I lost all feeling from my head to my toes. You said some shit that I can't let go, so just stay tuned for the rest of the show.
So have you ever felt betrayed? Switches how you see things, realize something needs change. Cause I know you got me fucked up, let me show you what's up. Cause enough is enough.
I'll take a face full of pavement just to make a statement. I know there's no turning back. Oh God, adrenaline wasted, so mad I can taste it. I know there's no turning back. I'll do what it takes, I ain't making mistakes like that. I'll bleed on your face just to make you go take it back. I'll lose my shit, I go crazy when I'm
the villain, and I have no problem at all because I couldn't care less if you like me or not. I'm here for success, yeah. And there's no one more successful than Grayson Waller.
Yeah, let me talk to you.